Let's open our Bibles to James chapter 5. We are finishing our series through the book of James called Praxis, Gospel Instructions from James for the Christian Life. Last two verses, that's what we're looking at. And as I was meditating on this passage throughout the week, I was thinking a lot about two shows that I watched when I was a kid. And so our younger people here might not have watched these shows, maybe in reruns, but Kung Fu was one. I watched reruns. I was born in 72, so I watched reruns of Kung Fu, but I also watched The Incredible Hulk, right, with Bill Bixby. That's the Hulk I loved and watched all the time. Lou Ferrigno as the Hulk. And those two shows, they were about these two men, Bruce Banner and Kung Fu guy. I don't even remember. What was his name? Anybody? The actor. David Carradine, but they would wander, right? They were always wandering, and they were trying to just get on with their business and lead peaceful lives. But wherever they went, trouble found them in one way or the other. And Kung Fu would either start whooping tail, or Bixby would Hulk out and whoop some tail in his way. There's danger in wandering, right? We like the idea of kind of wandering around. We think like wandering sounds harmless. Like I'm just gonna wander around. But we all know that wandering is dangerous. It's like it's in us. We know. We tell it to our kids. Don't wander off, right? Because if they wander off, you might not be able to see them. They could wind up in some kind of trouble. Stay on the path. Don't get off the path. Be careful. Don't wander. There's danger when we wander. Usually because we're not paying close attention, kind of out of it. We're just meandering. There's no purpose to our wandering. And today, what I want us to see in this passage are three things. I really want us to clearly understand the danger of wandering and the need that we all have for guidance, but then also the hope that we have for rescue. Okay, so wandering, guiding, and rescuing. These are the three things I want us to consider this morning. In verse 19, James says, "My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from the wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." This is God's word. Let's pray. God, help us to understand and receive your word. We want you, we need you to instruct us by your Holy Spirit and to change us wherever we need it. So Lord, lead us in conviction, help us to be repentant men and women, and help us to grow in faith. We seek you together, in Jesus' name, amen. Wandering, right? So who are we talking about here? Who are the wanderers? Well, he says, "My brothers, if anyone among you wanders." Well, he's actually talking to the church. He's talking to Christians. And he says, if any one of you, if anyone in your fellowship, if anyone in your community is wandering away, this means James is talking about us. He's talking about you specifically, or maybe the person next to you who wander from the truth. So in a sense, we're primarily thinking about Christians here who can drift away. Wandering, wandering is a slow, it is unintentional, right? Even the spiritual kind of wandering. People who wander away from the truth generally don't set out to do it. Right? Maybe they're feeling their way through a problem or a crisis, but they are moving. Wandering, this spiritual wandering is really the fruit of careless living. Like people that wander away from the truth don't do so intentionally, but they are unintentionally drifting from the truth because they are unintentional about their faith, at least at that time. The fruit of careless living. And they wander, we wander from the truth, James says, right? From the truth, from the faith, right? From the gospel, from theology, from the truth of God. Ultimately, this dangerous wandering is a wandering away from Jesus himself. This is the concern. This is the caution. So if we're going to define wandering, let's at least for now define it this way, that the spiritual wandering is a slow drifting away from God and the gospel. That's what's cautioning us here, that it is possible to drift away from God and the gospel. Now, how do we do that? I mean, how is it that somebody actually drifts? Maybe you don't even feel like it's possible for you to drift away. You so know God, you so love the truth that you don't think it happens, but it does, and it happens to all kinds. I believe it happens to us all. Sometimes people drift from the truth because they get captivated by bad theology, and it happens. Like, really charismatic speakers can be very enthralling with their words and paint a beautiful picture, but what they're offering is poison. And oftentimes, people buy in to this false theology, and they wind up drifting away from the truth entirely. Like, prosperity gospel, prosperity theology is this lie that says if you believe enough, if you just trust God enough, He will give you all the money that you want. If you have enough faith, God will make you rich. If you have enough faith, God will take away all of your diseases. And this is a lie that sounds very good to us because we would like to be healed and we would like to have all of our financial needs met. So we hear bad theology and it can be captivating to us. Some wander from the truth because they are controlled by sin. Some of you know what it's like to be so dominated by sin, by a particular sin oftentimes, one sin that you can't seem to shake. You get broken by it and you just give up. Some of you are controlled by sins, and it's not that you're defeated by their oppression, but it's that you just keep feeding that fire. Some people wander from the truth out of anger. They're really mad, oftentimes at the church. They're mad at the church, or they're mad at the pastor, or they're mad at the person next to them at church. Like, they're angry at someone, and they feed that anger, and it festers, and it continues to lead them away from God and the gospel and God's people and Jesus Himself. Sometimes it's jealousy. Sometimes it's pride. People wander because their sins control them. But most of the time, I think people wander from the truth because they are ultimately compelled by a love that they have for something other than God. Love moves us. It inclines us to act. And so when we begin to set our affections on something other than God and exalt that thing and highly esteem that thing more than God, we quickly begin to move. The drift picks up speed. I mean, you can ask yourself at any time, what has my heart? Like, what has your heart? What ultimately draws your attention? What could you take from your life? What could be removed from your experience that would lead you to conclude life is no longer worth living? That thing is the very thing that will encourage you to wander away. What takes the lead in your life? What has priority? What do you sacrifice for? People wander for a lot of different reasons. Honestly, I think we should just be honest and ask ourselves, am I wandering? I mean, are you wandering? Maybe just a little, right? Or maybe a lot. Maybe you are way off the path. God doesn't throw a chain around your ankle and tie you down with a stake so that you can only move in a small radius, you know? He lets you walk. He allows you to even wander. Are you wandering? We just sang the hymn, right? We sing and we confess in that hymn, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. You sang that. Do you believe that? Do you believe that this is true of you? Because I know that it's true of me. I know there's no doubt in my mind that I am prone to wander. I am inclined to leave the God that I actually love. And it sounds like some kind of spiritual insanity. Like, why would it be that way? But the truth is, sin remains in us. And even though we believe, even though the Christian has faith in Jesus, that faith isn't perfect. And we are tempted and tried by many different things, and wandering is all too easy. And maybe you're not even a Christian. Maybe you're not a believer, and it's not an issue of are you wandering from the truth. Maybe you've been wandering all of your life. Maybe you've just only ever known wandering, and you've never known home, you've never known safety, you've never known what it means to belong to God and to his people. God tells us this morning that there is hope for all who wander. And the truth is, we all wander. You wander. And if you don't see the ways in which you wander, then you are in a dangerous situation because you think that you will not fall. You think that you are strong enough or smart enough or spiritual enough. Or you think that you've experienced enough grace so that from now on you aren't in danger. James says, "My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back," right? Someone brings him back. This is the guiding that we all need. We all tend to wander away from God, away from Christ, whether because we're setting our affections on something else or we're just feeding sinful desires and we begin to move. Maybe we hear false theology and it sounds appealing and we begin to move towards it. But in one way or another, we are all tempted to wander, and many are wandering today. And what we need is help. We need guidance back to the truth. Someone brings him back. And in order to bring someone back, you have to actually notice that they're wandering, right? You're not going to be able to bring someone back. You're not going to be able to be that guide to them unless you notice that they are drifting. You have to see it. And in order for you to see it, demands that you be in community with them. Because there is no way that you're going to be able to diagnose someone's spiritual problem like that unless you know them well enough to say, I can see the problem here. I hear it in your words, or I can tell when we're talking that you're not being open with me. You have to be able to see the hardness of heart or the shrinking affections for God. If you don't stand next to them in community as brothers and sisters, then you will not see it and you will not be able to guide them. What this means is we actually have to watch out for one another. We are our brother's keeper. In the church, we are. I mean, we are the family of God, the household of God. We are brothers and sisters who share a heavenly Father, and we are to look out for one another. And that only happens if you care. If you love the brothers, the sisters, the church. There's a sense in which people will watch out for people in the church, but not out of concern, not out of love, but because they're jacked up Pharisees who just like to condemn people whenever they step out of line. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about putting the screws to somebody's thumbs every time they sin or step out of line. What we're saying is that as the people of God, it is our family responsibility to care for one another spiritually, so that we actually notice when people are wandering away from the truth in one way or another, and we seek to help them out of compassion and love and for the glory of God. If someone brings him back, if someone, who's someone? Pastor, the elders, is that the someone? Could be. Community group leaders? Sure. James doesn't say that, does he? He just says if someone, anyone, if any believer will go and bring them back. It's open like this on purpose because you are the someone God calls to reach out and to help. Look, you do not have the luxury to not care about your brother or sister. You don't have the luxury to just be concerned about yourself. You don't have the freedom to not confront one another when sin is happening. You don't have that option. You don't have that luxury. And I know it's tempting because we're like these 21st century suburban people, and we just like to, we don't want to confront anybody, and we don't want to, like, oh, I know that they're doing something really crazy, but I don't want to look, don't pay attention, maybe it'll go away, it'll all take care of itself, just give them some time and give them some space, and time will heal all wounds and all these lies that we tell, and we think, I'm just going to take care of myself. We say these lies like, well, you know what, I mean, I would be a hypocrite if I had to say anything to them because I'm so jacked up, I'm so sinful, I mean, I'm over here indulging in my sins all the time, so how can I go to that person and tell them that they need to get right with Jesus? How can I lead them if I'm struggling to even lead myself? We will find a million excuses to not help our brothers and our sisters. We don't have that luxury. You have to bring them back. Bring them back to what? Well, the truth. I mean, that's what James says. Back to the truth. Bring them back to a life of faith and godliness, bring them back to the gospel, bring them back to Jesus. And it's not that you have to have some grand strategy or you don't have to be have great speaking abilities. What you have to do in order to bring someone back is you have to use your words and your actions. You simply have to be a Christian who actually loves and cares for those who are wandering. It takes both words and actions. They need to hear the truth, but they also need to see the truth in you. In other words, you have to come alongside them. You have to go to them. You're not going to be able to simply model the truth for them. You're not going to be able to simply live a good life when somebody is wandering and just hope that that's enough. You'll have to speak. You'll have to talk to them. You might have to say some hard words. You don't have to be hard. You should be filled with compassion and grace, but you will have to say some hard words. You will have to talk. You can't just talk. You have to love, and you have to live in such a way that they can see that you are no hypocrite. It's not hypocritical for you, the sinner. It's not hypocritical for you, the struggling believer, to go to another believer who is wandering away and grab them and help them to find Jesus, to help them come back to the truth. You've heard the saying, I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where to find the food. What, does he feel like a hypocrite because he doesn't make the food? Of course not. We're all broken and sinners. We're all in need of the grace of the gospel. And the one thing that a broken man or woman is sure of is that Jesus is our only hope. And the more I hang on to him, the more I trust in him, the safer I am. And the farther away I get from him, the more dangerous life becomes. So you go. And yeah, you might not want to go to that person to try to guide them back because you are risking something. Doing that, right? You risk the relationship. You risk losing the person that you actually love. You're afraid if I actually go to them and confront them on this, and confront may even be too hard of a word for some of you, but what I mean is if you're hesitant to talk to them about their wandering because you're afraid that they will get mad at you and write you off, well, what's worse? I mean, you're saying, well, I'm afraid I might lose my friend when they might be actually losing their soul. So it's like your relationship is more important than their soul. Is that what you're saying? That's what I'm saying sometimes in my mind. I don't want to bring it up. I don't. Oh, they're going to get mad, and then they're not going to want to talk to me anymore, and then they're going to... That's pride talking. It's all about me. And if you do love them, if you do care for them, then you will go. Because your aim is not to simply talk to them, but to see them rescued, right? There are those who wander. There are those who seek to guide them back. And some will be rescued, right? So if someone brings him back, let him know, in verse 20, let him know, whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Well, first of all, this is it's a big if here. Just because you make the attempt does not mean there's a guarantee of rescue. Sometimes you will reach out. Sometimes you will risk losing that relationship, and you will lose it because they will cut their ties and run away. It's happened to me. I've lost dear friends to the world who were among us for a time, and they wandered, and when we sought to guide them back, they ran. We will lose some. We should never lose any because of apathy or complacency or a lack of involvement. I mean, this is what it means to be the church, right? We don't lose any because we don't care. We do everything we can. We reach out. We reason with them. We call out to them. We love them, and we go after them. But if we lose some because we are inactive, uninvolved, uncaring, then there's blood on our hands. We're attempting to save these people from death. This is no small thing. The person who brings this wanderer back from his sinning saves his soul from death. And you know what I want to do with this? I want to go, yeah, you know, it just means like if somebody leaves the church and they wander, if you bring them back, you save their soul from maybe physical death that would be the consequence of ungodly living. Like, I want to soften this in some way, but there's no way to do that here, because the way James uses this expression is the same way it's used throughout the New Testament. And the idea is the one who is brought back safely, they are saved from death and hell. They are saved from damnation. They are rescued from condemnation. Rescued from that. This is why it matters. This is why there's such urgency, because we are saving their souls for eternity. God saves them, yes, but he says here that he uses us in the process to bring them back. They are saved. It says their sins are covered. Reflective of what we read in the Psalms. Psalm 32. Verse 1, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Right? It's just the idea that the one who finds mercy in Christ, the one who is forgiven of their sins, it means their sins are covered, that God doesn't consider them anymore for our judgment, but that he accepts us as forgiven and restored to himself. God forgives. God saves. Even those who wander away by those who reach out to rescue. Now, some of you might be wondering, what about, I thought when you become a Christian, you're safe and secure and you're not going to go to hell anymore if you're a believer. And this is absolutely true. The person who has been born again by the Spirit of God has been given the Holy Spirit as a deposit that guarantees our inheritance. We've been forgiven of our sins, and you can't be unforgiven of your sins after you've been forgiven of your sins by God. So what happens to the person who does wander away? I mean, James says the person who wanders away to destruction is condemned. They're not saved. And it's really something that we see reflected in 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John, chapter 2, verse 19. He explains, they went out from us. That is, they left. They abandoned the faith. They abandoned God's people. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not. This is why we go after everyone, because we are dealing with eternity, with people that we know and love and care for. There is rescue for the wandering. There is rescue for the lost. But it's only in Jesus. I mean, Jesus says this in Luke 19:10, right? I came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what I came for. I came to find you in your wandering and rescue you. So again, who's wandering? I want you to really consider this. Are you drifting away from God and the gospel, maybe just a bit, maybe it's just starting. You know, maybe your affections for God are dimming, or maybe you've begun to sort of sniff at the scripture as anything beautiful. You just don't want to read that. And maybe you're wandering, is you're just a few steps into it. But do you see the danger? Do you sense just how dangerous, how reckless that is? Maybe you are way off that path. Maybe you are so far gone that you truly feel lost entirely. Well, the hope that we have, the hope that we all have, is that we can look to Jesus from wherever we are. From wherever you are, you can look to Christ, and he holds out his hand and he says, I've come for you. Take my hand, follow me, come with me, and I'll rescue you. I'll save you. I'll give you life. I'll give you forgiveness. Why would you not take his hand? I mean, you who know him, why would you not? Will you refuse your Savior? Will you refuse your Lord who comes to you to bring you home? Or maybe you've never known him, but there's Christ offering you everything. Will you deny him? Pray that we return to him, that we seek him eagerly, earnestly. Maybe you genuinely aren't wandering, but others certainly are. You recognize it. You see it. Will you go after them? Will you love them enough to say something, to be a friend? Will you love them enough to warn them and to give of your time and yourself to guide them? No one is too lost to be rescued, right? No one is too lost. That's not a biblical theology at all, right? The person's too lost. Like that's what Jesus does. He saves the lost. So those that are wandering way off, those that are drifting, you who know the Lord can go to them. Bring them to Christ. Bring them into your life. You can bring them to worship. You can bring them to coffee and just talk to them. There's so much that you can do. We need to seek Christ together so that when one of us begins to wander, we notice and go after him. Save their souls from death and cover a multitude of